What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. In today's podcast, we spent a little bit of time at the start talking about the election, what it means for Australian entrepreneurs in particular. After that, we talked about practical examples of why it is so important to take tiny actions and put yourself outside of your comfort zone. We share some really practical stories, things that I'm doing right now here in Limassol in Cyprus to build my network, even when I don't feel like it or I feel awkward, how to show up and actually meet new people in a way that's going to lead to money. We talk about the importance also of taking what you see on podcasts and turning it into actual real life results that turn into money for you. Stop being somebody who just watches and be somebody who actually earns and banks. I give you an example of how by watching a few YouTube videos, I made an investment that has made me over 1,000% return in the last 5 years. We give you another example of how Mark, through what he teaches, is up over 100% in just a matter of weeks by learning and educating himself on trading. So we don't go through the trade, we go through how he learned to trade, the actual practical steps. In addition to that, as I said, we'll talk about how to meet new people. And we closed off with a piece about the importance of doing offsites with your key people in your business. And we give you a practical behind the scenes look at what we did about a week ago at Unemployable with our key drivers, the key people in our business, to level up the brand, to level up where we're going. But as usual, we went into the granular of how we did it, why we did it, and the impact of that. With all of that said, hopefully you find this one helpful. If you do, like, subscribe, and most importantly, share it with other people so we can grow the channel and get some more great guests on here for you. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this Friday pod. I have with me the boys, Eric, James, and Mark. What is going on, boys? How are you all doing?
Good. Kick it off. It's been a long weekend here in Australia, Adam. You've probably forgotten what they are in the Northern Hemisphere. They don't have 95 in a row in the first 6 months of the year.
They have every day off over there.
Yeah. it's been good. They got the World Surf Championship on here at Burley in the weekend. I thought it was like the Burley Board Riders meet the Miami, whatever they are. But no, it's the best in the world here. So Burley's been just on fire for the last 3 days, just for another 7 days. So just people everywhere and, usual antics at, a surf contest, as you can imagine. There's a fair bit of yahooing going on around in Burley.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And this is Eric, James, and I's third pod for the day. So I'm still full of energy though. Let's go.
Yeah, I feel actually quite good. I was here actually at about 5:30 in the morning, doing a bit of work and prepping for the couple pods that we had, and then had the bookkeeper come in, and she literally left about 10 minutes ago, straight onto this call. So we're on fire today.
Well, look, let's kick it off with a topical thing of the moment. Obviously, our audience is full of entrepreneurs. A lot of entrepreneurs are traditionally liberal voters. So we probably have a fairly, right liberal audience. I'd love to get your round table, just your quick thoughts on the election that unfolded in Australia. First of all, I think we've got to accept we live in a democracy, and whether we like the result or don't like the result, it's the result. The people have spoken. I think given the majority of seats and the lack of options that the Liberals have on the table, we could be in for a six-year run now with Labor in charge, which is going to be an interesting bed to lie in over the next 6 months for Australians. But a lot of people are in shock. And just to frame it up, I think this result's interesting because, a lot of people, when you hear it in the news and you look at it on the screen, you see the red seats and the blue seats, you see this massive domination and this red sweep. But the primary vote was really only 2-3% split between people who actually voted Labor and people who actually voted Liberal. There was only, a small margin. There's only 34% of Australians voted for Labor and as a primary vote, and the rest was either Liberal or other votes, which is really interesting. And what scares me is that I think that when I look at that, I think, Albo and co have a fairly aggressive, liberal agenda. And I hope they don't take this as a, as a mandate to do whatever they want, dust off all those policies that they wish they could push through.
They will.
I think we're going to see some crazy times now starting. We're really going to have to fight hard to defend our freedoms and our liberties and our wealth. But over to you guys. Mark, maybe you want to kick off. What are your thoughts?
We made the point today with we had a senator from the Libertarians come on and we kind of made the point today that Australia hasn't experienced enough pain. And that's evident by the fact that we voted someone like Albanese back in. But in fairness to Australians and in fairness to the Labor Party ran an election about doing what Labor does. And the alternative or the other alternative major party basically had no soul, stood for nothing. And as someone who has voted Liberal since I could vote, this is the first election where I didn't vote Liberal and I voted for the Libertarians and Gerard Rennick. And someone messaged me because I put my vote slip on Insta, and someone messaged me, I can't believe how much the Libs got smashed by. And I said, I can. I voted Libertarian and I've voted Liberal all my life. And he said, oh, actually, me too. I voted for I'm not sure who he voted for,
Rennick, but
he
wasn't
Liberal either. Right. He wasn't Liberal either. Well, that's it, right? Like, even people who have been voting Liberal forever decided against it. Now, I wish that our vote counted. And in a way, I feel like my vote was a vote in vain because none of these minor parties got enough of a boost to really send a strong enough message to the politicians to kind of say, hey, we don't like the way that the country is being governed. And instead, we got 34%. That's just over one third of the nation voted for Labor. And now Labor doesn't have a mandate, but they do have the power to go and rush through all these bad economic policy and this, you know, this I would say communist and socialist type policy that I think is really going to hurt the country. And my outlook, and I'll pass it on to you guys, is we're in for a lot more pain over the next 3 to 4 years as a country.
You actually sound a little bit like Trump there when you said that. A lot more pain.
Billions and millions and millions. Believe me, we're in for pain. Believe me.
Yeah, I mean,
as Mark said, had a and as probably most of you guys know, I'm not that politically motivated or driven or could really give two shits about most of it, except for the fact that now the topic of conversation came up today with Jed Hansen on the pod about the reality of taxing unrealized gains. It mightn't happen overnight. And Mark sort of put it, and him and I both looked across, a bit of a chuckle. It's like the frog in the pot of water, that, you know, it mightn't happen next year, it mightn't happen the year after, but think 4 or 5 years that you effectively could be paying capital gains on or to tax on non-crystallized profits. And so that took a bit of a 5 minute kick around to work out what that's going to look like for who and how and why. So, but since I've been in business, or been from the age of 18 when you're supposed to vote, I could give two shits who's been in. Nothing as material has changed in 28 years at all. They've threatened negative gearing once or twice, but other than that, it's same business as usual, really. That's been my experience in the last 28 years, been 48 or now, it's been 30 years, I should say. And so, yeah, for me, it's like, give two shits, really, except for one of these two of the changes that may come in.
James, I think that's a sad indictment on the reality, though, right? Like, I think many Australians have become so complacent politically because they really don't believe anyone's going to change. And that's why when someone like Trump comes in and starts really breaking things, people are like, oh my God, like, I didn't know politicians actually would do things that would change things. And that's what we're seeing in the US right now. And I think a lot of Australians are craving actual change. But you're right. Like, so many people are complacent because the parties are so close together. And it's a case that this is where democracy is the best of the bad systems, as they say. You know, you basically get the voting populace to stand next to the money printers, and the politicians stand on each side of the money printers making promises, whether it's taxing the rich through unrealized gains or giving out, you know, $2 billion to, you know, the housing sector for young people. So then you have all these young people who just vote for this $2 billion without any real understanding of where the $2 billion is coming from, the knock on down. They just, they're young and they're financially inexperienced, but they hold power because they, their vote is as equal to somebody who's an Australian of 30 years more experience in the market. So it's, this is where democracy can be challenging, is that you essentially stand the populace next to the money printers and the politicians just buy votes through their policies until you get a real leader who comes in and actually short-term sugar hits. They're thinking in, you know, four-year cycles rather than real leadership that, you know, promotion. That's why I like Gerard, because Gerard had so many real, unique ideas. Eric, you were going to say something.
Yeah. If you talked to me, you know, 3-4 months ago, I would have been a lot more surprised than before. I wasn't that surprised, because leading up to this election, when you actually look at, you know, them promoting their policies and stuff, I feel like the coalition, you know, Peter Dutton didn't do a great job of actually solidifying his policies. And it was a bit, like we said in the pod earlier, a bit wish-washy, you know. There wasn't like a hard stance on this is what I'm going to do. And I think that that backfired. I read an article and it was Donald Trump talking, being interviewed, and he's like, I've met Anthony. He's a nice guy, you know. He seems like he's doing a good job. And then he's like, the other guy, I don't even know who he is. Never even heard of him before. Right. And that's an issue, right? When we're talking about attention is the new currency, right? And this is what we're doing with Unemployable and showing up every week, week after week, and the Liberal Party is not really known. I mean, they're known, but the actual leader is not really known and not powerful enough. That's a scary thing for that party, in my opinion. Now, I feel bad for the average Australian. I really do. And I said this to you guys in the chat when it got brought up and people are going, oh, you know, it's going to be tough next couple of years and this and that. And the reality is, the reason why we do this with Unemployable is to help, right, the average person, the entrepreneur, or the person that is an entrepreneur that wants to be an entrepreneur and create a side hustle. The reality is more and more of you guys are going to actually need to listen to these pods moving forward, because the person that has an average job on an average income is going to be impacted massively on this. At the end of the day, Mark and I debated on this a little bit earlier, right? Like, we've made decisions. We're investing in things. We're starting businesses. We're not relying, right, on a so-called job to make ends meet. So, yes, we'll have to pay a bit more land tax. Yes, we'll have to pay a bit more taxes. Yes, cost of living will increase. But let me tell you, I don't look at my electricity bill, right, and see how much, you know, more this quarter it was compared to last quarter and the rest of it. I'm concentrating on creating more abundance, creating more business, earning more income, making strategic decisions. And I'm not saying that from a place of arrogance. I'm saying that because people need to become more educated in regards to not worrying about how to save more money, how can you earn more money, and how can you do it on your terms. And I agree. I think it's going to be tougher for people because costs will increase. Costs, in my opinion, are not going to decrease anytime soon. And we'll see it. We'll see it in everyday goods. And Mark's even said on the pod, if they actually bring in this unrealized capital gains tax, I might be out of here, right? And I said, we said on the pod, I said, look at Adam, guys, right? What has he done? He's packed up and left. How? Because he can, right? So he's not worried about, right? The lifestyle might be a little bit different. It might be better. It might be worse. That doesn't matter, right? But the reality is he had the choice and he took the action to actually do it. And 90% of the population aren't in a position to do that. And they're just going to be stuck in the rut, sitting here complaining about the same thing. And my opinion is people need to start looking in the mirror and going, how else can I provide? Think outside the box, listen to these podcasts, get educated. But the key thing, and this is what I've been talking a lot with clients and acquaintances and friends, is one word, and it's action. It's taking action. It's doing something about the thing that you want to change, whether it's Mark placing that trade and pressing the green button, right? That's taking action. Adam selling everything, going overseas, doing something brand new, not knowing exactly where he's going, who he's talking to, meeting these people. That's taking action. James and I going unconditional on that property. That is taking action. And that is the difference.
Taking control, right, of your life, not letting politicians or the outcome of an election determine your happiness or your results in life, because it's going to be it's going to be mediocre, and the adjustment, and people will get wound up to the point of distraction and anger instead of focusing on the wealth. Mark, I want to just make a point here, because I heard Mark say something on a pod this week, which I thought was brilliant, and it wasn't our pod, it might have been his or another pod, but I was watching you, Mark. You said, when I watch a podcast, if I don't understand something, I get the transcription and I drop it into ChatGPT, and then I ask them to teach me about that thing. Maybe you could highlight that, because I want to frame this up. I want you guys to really wake up as you're watching this pod, because I'll share one quick thing that I saw this week. I saw the MicroStrategy earnings call, right? So that's MicroStrategy is a company I invested in a while ago. This is not financial advice. I'm not saying buy MicroStrategy. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I watched this guy who's the CEO, Michael Saylor, from 2020. I started watching Michael. And then they made an announcement about what they're doing with their company. And he's way smarter than me. He's a multi-billionaire. And I can watch him on YouTube for free. Started watching Michael. And Michael said, this is what we're going to do with our company. We're going to basically buy Bitcoin with our treasury. And then we're going to borrow more money through the markets to buy more Bitcoin. Here's why I think it'll work. I got my entire superannuation based on watching about 3 or 4 YouTube videos with Michael. Said, I'm going backwards, leaving it there, because I now understand inflation. I moved it over to MicroStrategy, and it's up over 1,000%. So I 10x'd my superannuation by watching YouTube and taking action, what Eric has basically just outlined here. Some stats that I read this week, the average Australian, according to the Superfund Society of Australia, Association of Australia, that they say that the average Australian couple to live comfortably in retirement will need $73,000 a year for the couple. $73,000 a year for two people to live comfortably in retirement in Australia, and the average Australian will retire with $400,000 in super. That, to me, should ring massive alarm bells. If that's the government telling you that's what you need in retirement, I'd be like ignoring the government and going all in on my education. Mark, what was that you do when you're listening to a pod like this? Because it's one thing to listen to these pods, but if you're not actually going and taking action, I ran my account, says, I want my super, I want to self-manage it, I'm going to put it all over here. Oh, Adam, that's risky. You're not diversifying. You're this. And I outperformed the market by, 10 times. Mark.
So a couple of things on that, and then I'll loop back to what my thoughts were post the election based on this thread that Eric started with taking control. But basically, like one of the things that a lot of people have been asking me about lately is, how do you learn to trade options, for example, or who taught you to trade options, or is there a course out there to do this or to do that? And like with relation to options, that's one of the things where I don't actually like to go and see what everyone else is doing, because trading is this thing that is so visceral, right? Like all people like to say, don't be an emotional trader, but all of your emotions get awoken when you're putting dollars on the line for something that can give you instant feedback, not like a property that over time will do this or this. You'll get instantly wiped out instantly make money. So I don't like to follow other people's things, because the minute that their strategy starts not to work, you doubt yourself and you go to water and you make bad decisions. So basically, one of the things that I've been using ChatGPT to self-teach myself is options. And so I've been using all the key concepts, all the Greeks, Delta, Gamma, Vega, put skew, put spreads, all these things. Whenever I hear them mentioned on a podcast, I will sit for like an hour or an hour and a half after the podcast and just feed those concepts into ChatGPT and just get my personal tutor to just keep educating me. I say, keep asking me questions, keep keep prompting me, keep guiding me until I understand this to an ability where I can have the edge over the marketplace. And you can do that for everything. Like these concepts that we're speaking about, money printing and inflation, and we're saying, like, we've gone out there and made some big statements today that we think the cost of living is going to rise because of labor. You can go and you can put that question into ChatGPT. Why is the cost of living going to rise under a Labor government of Albanese? And it's incredible at the amount of information and summation that it can give you that is just really so spot on. Like it's incredible. And if you're not, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you're using ChatGPT as like a personal productivity tool, you are going to be part of the 80% or the 90% that doesn't have a job moving forward. The way that you need to be using ChatGPT is to put yourself in the top 10% of whatever you do, of whatever it is you're doing.
You're going to end up trying to get by on $73,000 a year as a couple when you retire, in whenever that is, when 73 grand is going to buy you a hamburger and a beer down at the Burley Tap, right? Like that's basically it. Mark, can you tell us just again, just to put a little high level layer on this? Last week we spoke, you had a trade, you opened it was up 100% in a week. Guys, this is like why you learn this stuff, because the price, the outcomes can be stunning. The reason I told you about the MicroStrategy investment I made is to just make you listen. It's not to brag, it's to make you go, holy shit, I'm sitting here, my superannuation's going in, and I'm accepting a 6% return, which is not even keeping up with the cost of living. So, you know, like you got to wake up to this stuff. Mark, you were going to say something there.
Yeah, no, I basically in answer to that question, I thought Tesla was a great long-term buy. That's my personal opinion. But I had, you know, roughly 5,100 Aussie sitting in an account in order for me to own this exposure to Tesla. And with all the uncertainty that was happening, and this is with all the uncertainty that was happening in the market, I didn't feel good about that 500,000 sitting there because I'm like, I don't want to ride it down another 40 or 50%. And so by understanding options, I knew I was able to sell my 2,000 Tesla shares and take a small portion of that money, so $10,000 US, and I was able to replace my exposure to those Tesla shares with $10,000 US, acquiring options that basically out of the money options, which is me taking a bet that the Tesla price is going to be over $440 by January next year. That bet, and I did it around Tesla being at around 240 or whatever, now Tesla's around 280. So that 40% increase in Tesla now means my options are up 100% in a week. So I've protected my $500,000 downside, but I haven't missed out on any of the gains, right? And most people, even the smart ones that are out there investing in stocks, are kind of just passively investing in stocks, hoping that over time they continue to go up. But there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of things in this world that are changing that maybe makes the S&P not a sure thing like it has been in the last 10 years.
Or anything. You guys put an amazing we put an amazing pod up on Tuesday with Scott from Rethink Investing that's just taken off, where he's challenging the notion of traditional residential real estate investing in Australia. This is a guy, $100 million net worth, I believe, BRW Young Rich Lister, made his money in commercial, not in resi. And he made that point that politically, with the housing price in Australia going where it's going, people are going to start voting for renter rights because they can't afford to buy. So Australia is going to become like Europe, where everybody, not everybody, but there's going to be two classes of people. There's going to be a few people that own property that are going to be handed down through the generations, like in Europe where I am, and everybody else rents. And that's where Australia is going. I don't see a way backwards, right? Like I don't see the market collapsing. I see this new world coming. So that reshapes the entire landscape of the traditional way Australians have created wealth. Here in Europe, like you've got to be proactive. Like, so one thing I did this week is I went to meetup.com and I went and got myself to a meeting with Bitcoiners just up the beach here. And I sat down and started just listening to the conversations. None of these young people aspire to own real estate. They're all doing arb trading, you know, spot trading, leveraged Bitcoin trading, They're doing all these different things, and you got to learn this stuff. Like, I went and got a business card printed last week for the first time in maybe 30 years to give to people. And this week I got appointments with, you know, really interesting different people. But guys, the message here is you must get proactive and not assume that the past equals the future. You know, that's a big mistake. Warren Buffett says that of the top 20 most valuable companies, I think it is, in the S&P, in 20 years, only one of them will still be there, right? Because they'll all be cycled out by the next. That's amazing when you think about that, right?
Jesus.
Yeah, it's something crazy.
It's probably Berkshire Hathaway is the one that's going to be there still.
Yeah. But I want to read something, guys. I'll just read this really quickly just to close this point, and I'll hand it back to you, Eric. I got a text this morning from a couple in Australia. It's official. This is a husband, wife, and a young child. We've started the process of moving our family to Cyprus today. Hubby and a 10-year-old boy. We're going to be there in 10 weeks. Scary, but it's going to give us the financial freedom that we need for our journey. And I wrote back like, whoa. And I went into a dialogue just thinking, but they have really done their research that says we've spent 2 days over there to check it out. We've been researching tax law, Aussie tax law, conversion rates, rent buying, and there's this whole thing. This couple have just said, after this decision in Australia, we need to make a change, and we're making it. And like the messages go on and on between us, and they really have done the work, but they are actually going all in to make changes. And, you know, they've got assets that are growing. It's a whole thing. But all I'm saying is there are people that are awake and are willing to just try and are doing this stuff. And most people are half asleep, you know, pissing in their wetsuit and feeling warm and they're swimming, thinking they're achieving something. Like, you've got to actually go and change.
Can I read my post-election thoughts? What I wrote basically before I went to bed after the election. I said, and I think this is relevant for exactly those people, Adam, out there that you're speaking about, those ones out there that are feeling a little bit disgruntled, feeling like, shit, how could this happen? How can the majority of Australians, like, not see the world the way I do? Well, this is what I would say. Australia voted, Labor wins. Wild times. A lot of people are shaking their heads, wondering how we got here. Well, the talent pool, pretty grim. But here's the rub. The greatest investors are contrarian. This is a place that you should all learn to be comfortable. If you're feeling out of step with the crowd, frustrated with leadership, that's a signal to everyone out there feeling disgruntled. Good. Stay sharp. Stay hungry. Now, how do you use what you know about the world to your advantage? Because tomorrow is a new board. Play it wisely. And that's exactly what this couple is doing. They're using the fact that they see the world in a different way to make these massive, massive changes, but I bet that they're going to be on the right side of history because they're willing to do the work to understand to make such a move. You've got to be willing to put in the work and question all your beliefs and all your roots, right? Like this is you've been living in a country for 50 years. Your roots are pretty deep. So to make those kind of shifts, people need to lean into those feelings and vibes.
Eric's an example of it. He's here. He moved from Canada to Australia. Look how it turned out. You're an immigrant.
I'm glad that those people's due diligence on your first three vlog videos was enough for them to move and go to Cyprus. I'm just joking.
Eric, don't worry, you know what? I feel the weight of it. I really did drill them when I got that message saying, guys, this is not a small move, right? Like, I've got a big tax problem.
Yeah.
If you don't have a big tax problem, the cost of living here is not cheaper. It's cheaper if you've got a big tax problem or you're likely to have one.
But it's amazing, though. That, put all jokes aside, right? What we have to remember is we're inspiring people by doing the things that we do, right? By showing up and coming on these pods and chatting about our wins and our losses and our personal experiences. That's the reality, right? There's going to be more and more people that will look outside of their comfort zone and make these decisions based on, you know, them looking up to you, Adam, as an example, right? And that is the key here, because I feel like a lot of people, and I got a message today on Instagram on this from someone as well, that a lot of people have lost hope, right? We all live by hope. And I think a lot of people have lost hope and they feel defeated, right? I'll never own a house or I'll never get ahead. And they're just sitting in their mundane lives every day, right? Thinking that is it. And the same thing would have happened with me, right? Like, if I didn't come here and create the successes that I've had and surround myself with the people that I've had and took the action to, like you said earlier, have the control, but the key is doing the work, right? And I sit here, Mark, and listen to you and what you're doing and going, the amount of time that you put every day, this is your so-called job now, right? You are researching, like placing the actual trade. How many minutes does it take for you to actually place the trade? How many minutes?
It's a second.
How many hours a day are you actually researching deep work?
Non-stop, every minute that I get, I'm trying to put into that. Obviously, I got my business, but like I would say easily, you know, 70% of my working time is research.
Yeah. So for me, talking to the person that's trying to get ahead right now is you're working full time, right? Mark's not working full time at the moment, but this is his full time thing. Obviously, he's got his online gig as well. But people are working 10 hours a day already. They're coming home. They got to make lunches. They got to make dinner. Right? My recommendation to you is find something that you're passionate about. Like Mark oozes trading. Like that's all he wants to talk about. You can see it. He's an ex-property guy. The guy sold over 3,000 blocks of land. He's not really interested in property at the moment, right? He's like full blown in trading, and that's what he's comfortable with, right? I see that and I appreciate it, but I'm not sitting there going, hey, Mark, I want to spend 2 hours a day with you. Can you teach me this? Right. One, because I love property and that's okay as well. Right. And not one is better than the other. Right. It's what you love. Adam is going hardcore into Bitcoin, right? Because he spent thousands and thousands of hours, right, researching it. He knows it. His belief is so strong. And why? He's made a shit ton of money doing it. So find what you actually enjoy, because there's a lot of noise here. Right now, we've got two pro property guys. We got one pro trader and we got one guy that's, you know, pro big. Like there's a lot of noise here just in this channel right now. You're not going to, the reality is you're not going to have enough time to do deep research on property, Bitcoin and trading all at the same time. All you're going to do is confuse the shit out of yourself, right? And you're going to stay stagnant and you're not going to move forward. So choose at least one thing. Block out time in your calendar, whether you got to wake up 2 hours early or whether you got to stay up a little bit later when the kids are in bed, or, you know, if you're married and kids and the rest of it, on the weekends, wake up early and allocate the time. Because let me tell you, I cannot believe in 3 weeks I turned 42. I feel like I just turned 41.
Turn it up, mate.
No, but honestly, like the time, we all know the time is going like this. The time is literally, it feels like it's going quicker and quicker and quicker. And this is where people are losing hope, right? Because one, they don't have enough time in the day. This is what we say to ourselves. Hey, how's your day? Flat out. I'm so busy. We're already planting that in our minds, right? So what you need to do is just block out some time. Like this morning, I got in here, it's 5:30 in the morning, right? I did deep work for 2 hours. I didn't get one phone call. I didn't get one message. I just head down and had to do what I had to do. And that is what you have to, that is the needle moving thing. Because if you do that once a day, over 7 days for 2 hours, that's 14 hours. You do that over a month, right? That's 56 hours. That's a lot of education time. So don't make the excuse, because that's the first thing you have to do is allocate the time. We could sit here and talk about it and you can listen, but it's taking this information. Like what Adam's trying to tell you is what Mark is doing. Take the information, take the transcription of this, put it into ChatGPT, ask it back. He's trying to give you, right, something that you can use. Everybody, like,
and it's more than that, Eric. It's maybe not this. If it's property, go, you know, all in on learning how to, you know, make money like Eric and the guys at Unemployable Property make money, because the returns they're talking about and what James is doing at the moment, that they're not buying residential property and holding it for 10 or 20 years. They're manufacturing wealth, right? They are in the business of making money, not waiting for money, right?
Yeah.
Most wealthy people in property don't buy and hold residential real estate. They develop residential real estate and sell it to the people who are willing to wait 10, 20 years, right? Yeah. So go and study that, or study Mark, or study what I'm talking about, but study the one thing and go deep and don't let time be this.
The guys that generally invest in real estate and buy and hold are the ones that have made their wealth somewhere else and then park it in real estate, right?
Right.
The two other things that I would add to Eric and Adam, your points, is I used to question, like, I reckon I started getting deep into macro podcasts and learning in 2018, around about the time I was getting into e-com. And for two and a half years, I didn't get a return on that in time investment. I actually lost money, like making mistakes and getting chopped around trading. And I would ask myself, like, am I wasting my time, like spending so much time researching when I'm not getting a return on this investment? And something about it just drew me to it and I couldn't stop. And I'm glad that I didn't stop, and I'm glad that I continued to follow my curiosity, because now it's all converging to a point where there's enough knowledge that I'm not losing money and that I'm able to make money. But the point that I would add there is, to simplify it, if you're curious about it, find time. It doesn't matter how busy you are, like Eric said, if you're curious about it, even if it's not giving you return on investment, find time, because eventually those dots will connect. And two, go into it without expecting to get a return on investment for at least the first 2 or 3 years. And if you're still willing to put in the time without a return on investment 2 or 3 years, then eventually it will work for you along the way. It will.
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable Business Coaching Program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You can get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
Yeah.
Like, again, you need to have a level of obsession, right? Like, I'm on realestate.com every day. Like, I'm looking at it every day. What's sold, what's coming up for sale, ringing agents, what's going on with this, what's going on with that. Like, this is what you need to do. Like, that's the work, right? Documenting. So that way you can only, like Adam says, right? You can only connect the dots when you look back. And like, I look back and I see certain things that I have done, and I see certain things that I should have done. And you can't get that time back, right? Like, when we're sitting here going, man, do you remember when that property 5 years ago or 6 years ago was X? Or do you remember when Tesla was X? Or do you remember when I bought, you know, like these stories you hear about Bitcoin, people buying pieces with Bitcoin? And like, with Unemployable Coaching, we just took our first, well, we're going to be this week taking our first payment in Bitcoin. Like, this is where it's going. Now, if I wasn't educated around Bitcoin, right? I'm nowhere near as educated as Adam, but again, when we ask questions, we talk about it. I listen to the pods that he's doing, interviewing these Bitcoiners. I would be like, nah, man, I'm not taking Bitcoin. Just give me the cash, right? And today I told James, he goes, shit, that's going to be good for you guys, right? Moving forward. Yeah, it's going to be great, right? It's going to sit there. And again, it'll help with inflation and the rest of it. But it's the education piece and surrounding yourselves as well with people. Like, not, it's amazing that Adam, right, is in a country that he's never been before. He's creating business cards. He's meeting people. He's literally interviewing princes, which you guys don't even know about yet. He's interviewing some of the biggest minds in the world around Bitcoin, right? And to me, that's inspiring. And that should inspire every listener here at the same time, because Adam is no different than you or I. Right. What he's doing is taking the action, and he's putting himself out there. He's made business cards for the first time, and he's documenting this stuff. You know,
I want to go ahead, James.
I was going to say, but also with that, there's something like we mentioned some manufacturing growth through property, which is one thing. But like Bitcoin, you don't really have any control over the price of it. I think, and I had to do a little experiment the other day, or just a trip down memory lane, about giving time. As like Alice Mosey puts it, like you're investing now for a 10 to 15 year pay window. It's not like you're investing today to get paid tomorrow. Mark does that a bit more aggressively with options. Again, probably has a shitload more, not probably, it does have a lot more risk involved in it. And you got to know a hell of a lot more of what you're doing with that sort of trade. But I developed property up because we had to put together a past projects list that I developed a whole bunch of land up in the city called Toowoomba. And I went back there and I went, you know, when you're there, you think, oh, these things are never going to double. They're never going to make money. Like it's going to be for, and literally over 7 years, they went from 345,000. They're just under 600 grand now. So yay for the customers that bought them. But just having let time do time. You know, yes, the uplift of a, you know, a hockey stick sort of property market and had the beneficiary of that, but history mightn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. So, you know, it was just an interesting point there about, you know, Adam, as I said, you're going to buy Bitcoin today, it's not going to be 10x tomorrow.
I want to put this in language for young men watching this show. Watching porn ain't having sex. And, you know, I say this with purpose because it's the same analogy in business. Watching podcasts ain't doing business. So it's okay to drive around and put the headphones on and go to the gym and listen to Alex Somozzi and all that, but you still got to actually go up to the girl. You got to make conversation. You got to buy her a drink. You got to be charming. Yeah. You got to get yourself in shape. You got to be a desirable guy in the market, right, if you actually want to have sex. And the same thing goes for business. I watch podcasts all day, but I also got my business card printed and I looked up meetup.com. And last night I was down the beach here with a group of 10 Bitcoiners, three of them with funded startups. And I'm going to meet these people in my business card. I got three business cards saying, look, come to the office, come and hang out with us. That's the bit that actually changes your life, right? So podcast is porn for entrepreneurs.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, you get the analogy, right? To actually get laid, you got to do the actual work that nobody wants to do. And the guys who are out there hitting the gym, working on their personality, getting their money right, they're the ones that get laid, right? So and it's the same in business. So, you know, I just know, like I had a guy contact me this week and said, I'll pay you just to answer the question. You pay me this money. He just wanted my opinion. And he said, life has hit me in the guts again. You know, every time I try to start something, now my mum has got stage 2 cancer or stage 3 or something. And I was like, dude, this is horrific. That's terrible. I've been through that. I lost my mum to cancer. I said, but the important thing if you want to be an entrepreneur is you've got to learn to use that information in a way that is going to empower you. At the moment, you're using it as a reason for not having the time to commit the 2 hours that you told me last month when you paid me for my advice that you were going to commit. And now you've said, I was going to commit, but my mum got cancer and now I can't commit. I'm like, dude, this is a reason to double down on the commitment. It's not a reason to not. I'm not saying at the expense of seeing your mum. Primary, do not miss a second with her if she's going down that path. But do not use this as a reason for not doing the work. Reframe it as a reason for life is short. You don't know how long you've got. That is the difference between entrepreneurs. And it's not being psychotic or not caring. It's just really using what life throws at you to, you know, embolden them. It's like in Dumb and Dumber where he says to the girl, you know, what are my chances? And she goes, 1 in 1,000,000. And he goes, so there's a chance. That explains it all there, right there. So something to think about for everybody watching this. But, you know, those are just two examples.
That's a great point, Adam. And you know, I think, like, yeah, it's just that there's no – like every entrepreneur worth his salt knows that when he starts something that he knows the math is not on his side, that 99% of businesses fail, right? So you've got to go into it, and if you do fail or if things don't go your way, or even in life when things aren't going your way, you have – the only way to keep going is to find a way to turn that into a positive and find the silver lining. It's the only way because the odds are not in our favor.
Yeah. Just to finish that point about the doing what it takes to be successful. You've heard Eric and James say on this pod how many times we do unemployable. We have a free Facebook coaching group, right? Have you gone and joined that Facebook group? Have you proactively put your best foot forward in that coaching group? Have you reached out to people to ask people to go and catch up for a coffee or do a Zoom meeting with you? That is the walking up to the girl in the bar stuff, right? The other night when the meetup reminder came up, meetup down the beach, I'll be honest, at the last minute I was like, oh my God, there'll probably be shit, or I don't really want to go. I might just sit at home. And then I went, you know what, Adam, go to the bar, meet the girls, which were 10 hairy, super smart Bitcoin guys. Go down, shake hands. They literally said, look for the teddy bears on the table. I've got the teddy bear here. I'll grab it in a second. They put these little Bitcoin teddy bears. And I met 10 new entrepreneurs who all think like me, right? And I was like, awesome. Here I am in Limassol meeting new people. And I'll look back in 2 years and go, oh, that's how I got into this deal. I met this dude through a meetup group because I said yes to, you know, not sitting at home and watching maths with Cass and going down the beach to Cafe Nero and being the guy in the room that didn't know anybody, right? That's what Eric did when he moved from Canada and went to his accountant and said, hey, listen, I've got a little bit of money. I've sold a couple of properties in Canada. Let me know if any investments come up. The accountant rang him, said, I've got these two crazy guys that have got this thing called MX Store. And Eric went, met with the guys, and then invested the money. And that money now, it's $100 million a year business. But if Eric hadn't have packed up his shit in Canada and moved to Australia and put the feelers out and had the meeting and done the call, he wouldn't be where he is today.
Right? Caveat on that too, 12 or 13 or was it 14 years later, I said,
it's the same thing with how I met Adam, you know, like, and these are the little things, guys, that like I had a message this week, two messages from people about the Friday pod we did last week about how we broke it down, the deal and why we did it, and they were just like, I loved it, you know, just that granular in behind the scenes on how things happen, like the relationship I have with Adam. Right. I would have met him, who knows now, 10 years ago, maybe 9, 10 years ago, right? Through a mate of mine that rang me that said, hey, I've got a mate here. I think you guys need to connect. He just moved back from LA. And I remember it was a Sunday. I was on the couch. I couldn't be fucked, to be honest. But something inside of me said, you know what? All right, let's go. Who was that guy? Adam. Right. 10 years later, right, or so, here we are with Unemployable. Right, successful, one of the fastest growing podcasts now in business in Australia, successful consultancy, you know, coaching business. Now we're an Unemployable property, which are you know, people that we met through the business coaching that we're now partnered. I met James because of one of the Reliable Education seminars, one of the first ones I went to. I met him, you know, when he was there with a friend of his. I remember when we met at the break, you know, outside having a drink and a bit of a coffee. Hey, how are you? Bang. Here we are 6, 7 years later doing a property deal together. 8 years later doing a property deal together. You know, I've met Mark through this, right? Now on the weekend, there's Mark, my wife, Mark and his wife, some friends partying at a Fisher concert like we're 21. Like these are the relationships that happen over time.
It's such a good point. I look back just in the last 4 weeks of my life and share two quick stories, and I'll throw to you, Mark. I interviewed, you mentioned it, the Prince of Serbia, like the crown prince, heir to the throne, right? I interviewed him a week ago. What the fuck? Like, how did that happen, right? And then I'm in Cyprus having breakfast down at the Grecian Hotel on the beachfront. My phone rings, and it's John Alexander, you know, the sports commentator, Order of Australia, you know,
tennis player,
you know, I don't even know how he got my number, right? Phone rings at breakfast. I'm standing there looking at the Mediterranean, talking to John Alexander in Sydney. He says, listen, I want to come on the pod. I want to talk to you guys. I just watched the Gerard Rennick pod. You know, Australia is in desperate need of quality leadership like that. It's a shit show out there. Can I organize a get together with myself, the former chair of the Australian Reserve Bank, a former bank CEO, and John Howard. Can I get those guys together for a panel on unemployable? Would you guys record that and put that out, and we'll do it at the press club? I'm like, what the fuck, right? Now, I'm not saying that to boast. What I'm saying, guys, is that this comes from these tiny little yeses and putting yourself out there and calling Eric and saying, Eric, I'm thinking about doing this podcast. You want to do it with me? Like, and then I ring Mark and then I ring James. Say, boys, how about we do this? We all get on well. Let's try and figure it out. We're going to build this studio. We're going to make it awesome so that people want to come. And then you just do a good job and you show up every day. And at the start, I looked back a few days ago at episode one of what we're doing here. We sucked a bag of dicks.
Like, oh, no, I'm going to watch it.
Right? That was like a year and a half ago, and we didn't know what we were doing. We got like no views, and then we did the next one, and we sucked a little bit less. And then the next one, and by the fourth or fifth one, we actually started to get our groove, and we were interviewing anybody who said yes, right? Now we're literally got, you know, sitting members of parliament that we're saying no to, or, you know, like, not trying to be arrogant, but just we're trying to think about what does our audience want to hear. But it starts with the first step and going out there and going to the bar and putting on your outfit and making yourself look reasonable. And I almost, when I got to Cafe Nero, I almost walked out because I couldn't find them the first two laps of the place that I looked. And I hadn't put the teddy bears on the table yet. So I'm like, fuck, you know, like, oh, fuck it, I'll just go home, right? And then I just went back in one more time and there were the teddy bears. And then I spent 2 hours and met a whole bunch of new people. But that's the shit. That's life. It's in these little decisions, these little moments. They're showing up, showing up, showing up. It's the universe, time, fate, and circumstance, watching and testing and seeing who is really there to fuck and who's there to just watch porn.
Yeah, and let me tell you, like, yes.
Do you want me to answer that really?
Yeah.
I'm saying it in those terms, not to be vulgar. I'm saying it in that term because I know you'll never, ever forget it.
Yeah. Yesterday we had our welcome and onboarding of the unemployable property first coaching cohort. And we're sitting there and we introduced ourselves, obviously, again. And Perry was running the call. Perry's the CEO of Unemployable. Does a lot of work in behind the scenes for those of you guys that don't know. And then he made everybody on the call introduce themselves and why are they there. And it was amazing the quality of people, right? So here you think, oh, people are signing up for the property, you know, education because they don't know much about property, right? And they want to learn. We've got people in that group right now, right? One couple are like, yeah, we've got $10 million worth of property. Our goal is to add another five this year. Another guy's got, you know, three land subdivisions on the go. Another guy's doing a six pack of units. One guy's managing hundreds of millions of dollars of developments for a big development company. And he just wants to learn how to do the smaller scales. Like, I'm just listening to, you know, there's like 20 people on the call and they're telling us their stories and their whys. And like, I'm taking notes. Right. Me as one of the owners running this thing, I'm taking notes going, bam, this person I got to talk to, this person I got to talk to, this person I got to talk to. Everyone has a story and you have to have the belief in yourself and the confidence to get yourself out there. I was on a call with a client last week. I said, they want to learn more about property. Okay. No worries. I said, have you went on to the, or I said, are you on Unemployable Property on Facebook, the free group? Yes. Okay. Have you actually went out there and introduced yourself yet to the other 1,300 people that are now in that group? No. Why? Oh, it's, you know, I'm a bit nervous. It's a bit out of my comfort zone. I understand that. But these are successful people, right? That have made money, that have done stuff in business and property. I'm like, you got to go out there and reach out and put that post out there and introduce yourself so people know who you are. So one recommendation I would say for you guys, right? I would give to you guys is start thinking about a little bit about your story. Because let me tell you, Adam believed in my story. I knew I had a cool story, but it wasn't until Adam approached me, right? When we were talking about Unemployable, when he's like, mate, you've got a fucking good story. And it wasn't until I literally unpacked my story. After that first initial call, he doesn't even know this yet, but I literally sat there and wrote pages and pages and pages of my story and read it back to actually myself. And I'm like, that's a fucking good story, right? Other people are going to enjoy that story. Great and that's point. The thing. Everyone has a story, right? Like Mark, you have an amazing story. Most people don't even know it, right? James, same thing. And it's not just the successes, right? It's the failures. It's the putting a bullet into things. People appreciate those so much more than the successes. But we'll get more respect for when you come out and say, I had this business and I had to put a bullet in it. Or I did this property deal and I lost money. But you know what? I got up, I wiped myself off, and I went again. Like, that is the stories that you guys need to come up with. Sit there, because once you write that story, it'll give you the confidence and belief to then go to meet.com, to then go print off business cards, to then go on different Facebook groups and go out there and start networking and connecting. I am a master. I am a super connector. Like, you're not going to talk to anyone that networks more than me, right? James rings me. Hey, do you know anyone? I already got someone. Boom. Right? You got this. Hey,
Eric, you're making a phenomenal point. And this is Alex Hormozi talks about this a lot. And I keep reminding you guys here in the pod, the frame matters, right? Like, I keep saying to Eric, make sure when you do an ad for Unemployable, you do something, start by saying, look, I don't want to boast, but my name's Eric. And me and my business partners build a $100 million a year company and we do real estate development. I tell you that just so you understand my background. It's like dating. You can't sit at a bar and then either not talk to the girl, or when you do talk to a girl, you got nothing to say that's interesting and expect that the girl's going to be interested in you.
Unless you got $200 million, that's a different
term. Yeah, you got $200 million or you look like Chris Hemsworth, maybe.
But you still got to show her the bank account.
$200 million. $200 million usually comes with a fucking lot of stories, right? Like,
but you still got to show with the bank account, right? You still got to know that $200 million is there. But Australians in particular suck because our culture is don't stick your head up or we'll smack it off with a cricket bat, right? That's the culture. People who frame themselves are wankers. Actually, think about it. When you're online, the only reason people stop and listen to Alex Hormozi when they don't know that it's Alex Hormozi is they hear him say at the start of every video, I scaled my gym business to $45 million net and sold it. Now I have a company with $1 billion of revenue or whatever. My name's Alex Hormozi. Otherwise, you'd think the guy he's wearing a wife beater, right, with a baseball cap and a big beard. Who the fuck is he? The frame matters, and Australians need to get better at this, and you need to take the time to do what Eric said, because it builds the confidence. And if you're going to go into that Facebook group, go in there hot, but go in there hot prepared.
Yeah.
Like, this is who I am. Get a photo. Don't just stand there in front of a fucking wheelie bin and take your photo. Go down and get a proper photo done of yourself, right? Write a meaningful, or put a carousel of photos that shows your story. Something that when it goes in that Facebook group, people are going, holy shit. Because everybody else is putting everybody on the pedestal, themselves in the pit. And when somebody who gives a shit, who's actually done the work, puts in a post, all of a sudden, friend request, DM, things start to happen. Somebody says, look, we've got $10 million real estate. We're trying to get to 15. You're like, fuck, I got none. I just got a post. But you got the attention, and the attention in the right way. And that's how shit actually gets done in this world. That's how it is.
Hey, Adam, can I tell you a little story? I don't know if I've shared this one with you. And the other thing that I would add to all of this is just be kind to yourself and give yourself time as well. Like, I remember when I was, I think it was 2018, Adam, is that your last reliable in-person event? And I walked into the room all bright-eyed and trying to, like, meet people that I'd seen on the free Facebook page. And I remember going up to Roth Bain. And like he had shared his story in the Facebook group about, how he was a rhino or whatever, and he'd had some success in e-commerce and Amazon. And I basically like, Ross, how did you do it? What advice can you give me? Tell me. And Ross said something that stuck with me that I'll never, ever forget. He said, Mark, listen, he goes, you got to believe in yourself. And he goes, you just got to remember you are me plus time. you are me plus time. And we live in a world of instant gratification, and we live in a world where we're seeing everyone who's got the results now already has the results, but we're not seeing the bottom of the iceberg part that's below the water, where we saw the time and effort that they put into it. So, you know, please just also give yourself time to do all this, because it does. It takes time.
Yeah. Guys, it's some good points there. I hope you guys, if this is landing for you, drop a comment below. The best thing you can do to help us grow this pod is to tell a friend, you know, flick this link and say, this pod is worth watching, you know, just copy and paste it, share it on your socials, help us share this, because our mission is to help everyday people with real world advice on how to change their lives, right? Whether it be through trading, or whether it be through property, or whether it be whatever it is that you're into. And what we promise to do each week is turn up and share what we're doing. I will share more of what I'm doing out here. I'm working on a few things at the moment. Mark, we're going to pick through your deals. Eric and James are doing a real estate development at the moment. Win, lose, or draw, we're going to share the story of what happened, you know, and how that unfolded. If you haven't watched the old episodes, you know, we've all unpacked real deals in real terms. I told you about my last property deal, which was my principal place of residence, and said, was it a good investment? Probably not from an investment point of view. And we went right through the numbers, you know, like, this is what we do at Unemployable. We try to share real trades across different asset classes and markets, share the wins, share the losses. So let us know. Is there anything else you guys wanted to do before we do the sponsored ad for the week? Maybe one last thing, Eric, we can just throw in here that we've got on the agenda, which is the importance of regular check-ins with your business partners, especially when you're in a high-growth business. So I'll just open this by saying that at Unemployable, we have the four hosts here, but then we have a team of people behind the scenes like Stu and Perry and Jerome and so on that make it all happen. And Perry, he runs all the, you know, he's sort of the point man, or the CEO, I guess, the guy who's actually doing the work when the cameras stop rolling, all the other stuff, which is a lot. And we hadn't got together, Eric, myself, and Perry, and we did a week ago. We set aside 2 or 3 hours to just talk about the direction of the pod and checking in, like, okay, we're a year and a half into this now. What are we doing? What are we doing right that we need to amplify? What are we doing wrong that we need to eliminate? And what ideas and things do we have on our lists? What's going to be prioritized? What's not? Eric, maybe you could just share sort of like what you came away from that meeting with, not like tactically, but just like, what did you come out of it thinking about after that?
You get clarity, right? Because there's so much noise. And what happens in business is you wake up and you go and do the same thing, and you're just pushing, right? You're just pushing, getting through your task list, getting through the podcasts, getting through the coaching, you know, just, you know, making everybody happy. And what it gives you is good clarity on where you are and what you're building and why you're building it. And like, just to give you an example, we were just coming up with like, what are the strengths and weaknesses that we have? What are the opportunities? What are the threats? Like, just a little mini SWOT analysis, right? Like, we're sitting here and going, you know, a weakness is that we're in Australia, right? That is a weakness to the Unemployable podcast, because it's going to be hard to grow outside of Australia, right? To get into the US market and get into the European market, as an example. And you got to ask questions. So do you want to stay in the US, in Australia? Yes, no. Well, if it's yes, then it's going to be a total different direction. If it's no, it's like, okay, well, how are we going to go and, you know, penetrate another market, as an example? But out of that, we got an action list of items to do, right? So it gives you clarity, and then you build a little bit of a roadmap, right? And you just check in with each other, because we all change. We're all different. Like 15, 16 months ago, right? Cyprus might have not been a thing in Adam's head, as an example, right? Things change, right? And it's okay for things to change. But the biggest thing is you have to make sure that you're on the same page. So whether they're weekly, monthly, you know, quarterly check-ins, it just keeps a finger on the pulse. And off the back of that meeting, right, we've now taken ideas from the podcast, and we're actually going to take it to a whole other level, which I'm not going to get into detail now about, but I'm sure we'll unpack that over time. And We've already had one meeting, right? You don't even know about this yet, Adam, which we'll update you. I have another meeting, not tomorrow, the day after. So again, it's taking the action, right? Taking control over the business and where it's actually heading. And off the back of that, you know, we got a message from Adam yesterday going, hey, just so you know, this company is interested in this kind of deal. You know, so all these things start to happen because you start putting the energy into it. And I just think it's so important. And I think most businesses don't do it enough with how busy.
If possible, at Reliable, we call that an offsite. So we would book a boardroom or we would book a suite at a fancy hotel and ask for some markers to write up. We used to use one at the W in Brisbane, and they've got the big window panes that overlook Brisbane City. And we got the markers, and we don't get permanent ones, but whiteboard ones. And we would mark up and plan out the next 6, 12 months or longer. But we do it offsite, out of, away from the staff, away from the distractions of the normal stuff, and just working on the business. So if you haven't done that for a while and you're a business owner, you've got key people in your business, strongly, strongly recommend it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's our time for today. With that said, great pod. I think hopefully people got some value out of it. Eric, we're going to hand over to you. Now, for those of you first time joining the pod, this is an ad, but it's an ad with a twist. These ads are free, right? We don't get paid for them. And they are products that our listeners, you guys, are just launching and trying to get off the ground and into the marketplace. So as a small way to give back to our community, we do free ads for our listeners, mostly small business owners in Australia, with real physical products. And today we have a barbecue from Bro Essentials. So this is a listener. Eric's going to tell you the story, and he's going to tell you how you can get your product on the show as well. Over to you, Eric.
All right. Yeah. So if anyone has a startup or a fairly new business, reach out to hello@unemployable.com.au. And then you can send your email to them. You can tell them a little bit about your product, and then our team will either approve it or not approve it. And then they'll give you the PO box to send it to. We've had multiple, if you guys have been watching the Friday pod, being sent through. Got to check the PO box this week because I know that there'll be more there. And this one got sent through from Bro Essentials. So it is actually a family that migrated into Australia from South Africa in 2008. And their stories are, South African people love the outdoor life and enjoy a braai. Obviously, that means barbecue in South Africa. On an open fire. So this is where the idea, they got started 3 years ago, and they came up with manufacturing My Bro Essentials. Well, today we have a mini barbecue, which is the ultimate durable, compact, foldable stainless steel barbecue for outdoor cooking. It's crafted in 1.2 mil, 304 food grade stainless steel. It's lightweight, it's compactable, it's small, and it also has a brekkie tray for the barbecue setup, for like a flat cooking tray. And so it's going to be a little bit hard for me to actually show you the actual product. So I'm going to try and do this as best as possible without it. It came in a cardboard box. Had decent packaging, and it's basically, you can see it from the side, you can see it there, and you can see the grill on the top. And it's literally a mini barbecue. You throw some, obviously, charcoal in there, some fire starter, and you've got your mini barbecue at your fingertips. And they all go back. It's the breakfast tray as well that sits right on top of it, and it's compactable. So you actually don't put anything together. It's all foldable, very easy to clean at the same time. And this little pamphlet comes inside as well. And what I liked about it is they've got a QR code here where you scan it to learn how to set up your barbecue. And it goes directly to the website as well. Talks about the safety tips and just the background of the barbecue, how to wash it. And if anyone wants any more information, they could go to www.broessentials.com.au, and you can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Bro Essentials. So
Eric, thank you, cool. Mate. That, It's begging for some steak knives to be thrown in there, mate. Like we need to channel a bit of Tim Shaw from Demtel.
If any of you guys are hungry, you know.
But wait, there's more.
Well, yeah.
Did you mention anything about the entrepreneur? Did they send in a story?
Yeah. So they sent in a letter. It's a family from South Africa. They've been here since 2008. Love their outdoor barbecues over coal. And the brand name is Bro Essentials. It's a new product, and the website went live 4 weeks ago. I got this probably about 2-3 weeks ago. They have a patent pending on the barbecue. For instructions on how to use and more information, check out the website and video, obviously at broessentials.com.au. And I'm going to try and say his name, right? His name is Gert van der Weischchisen.
Okay.
So interesting. Good South African name. Sounds like an absolute gentleman. But again, it looks like, you know, there's been a lot of time, a lot of effort. It's very, very high quality stainless steel. And Mini Bro Essentials is what it's called.
Mini Bro Essentials, guys. Go check them out. If you need a barbie, go buy one. You're supporting a Aussie family that is here in the country trying to make a go of it. And I love it. Well done.
Awesome.
With that said, guys, that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. We have some cool stuff coming to you over the coming weeks. I'll continue to do my little Bitcoin stuff. Mark's doing his crypto, his trading stuff. Eric's bringing us the real estate, the entrepreneurs with James. Keep an eye on the channel. There's going to be new stuff coming through the channel soon that I think you guys are going to love. It's very, very exciting. So remember, tell your friends. We're going to be giving you access to the hats soon as well. We're getting lots of requests for the hats.
Yeah, I just placed a new order. We got a lot more coming within about 4 weeks. So we just placed that order. But yeah, the hats are growing. So the merchandise is something that we're really going to start putting an emphasis on. Definitely. We were in Byron Bay on the weekend and I wasn't wearing my hat, but my dad was wearing the unemployable hat. And he had a couple of people come up to him. Oh, I love your hat. Where do you get one? So I'm sending out links and, you know, literally the process right now for the hats. When you look at starting, guys, like, we sit here and say we've got $100 million e-com business and we have other, you know, eight figure brands and the rest of it. But literally when the sale comes in from the hat, I grab the hat. Jen, my wife, has the boxes at home. I literally print off the Oz Post. I go into the Oz Post back end business. I print it off. I put it on the desk. And she picks it up in the morning and she sends it at Oz Post. So these are the little things. Meanwhile, I walk into MX Store and it's a fully automated machine doing 2,000 orders a day. But there's something real raw and organic about doing it that way. And it's so cool, you know. Like I remember
always when we
first... Go ahead.
Always day one, right? Always day one.
The thing, right? And it's the same thing with the unemployable coaching boxes, right? I get the box. I'm here. Adam used to do it. I now do it. I put all the boxes together myself, package it up. I bring it home. I write it literally on a bit of paper, the address, the first name, you know, and the address. And then Jen goes to the Oz Post, puts it in the sleeve and sends it off to the person. That's what we're doing, you know, and these are things you got to do what you got to do. Even today with James and I'm literally scanning documents. James is going through a 50-page document from the solicitor just to sign off, you know, it's just little things that you need to do that take the time, but it's that action. It's just getting shit done, you know, every day.
Good stuff, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.